Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Cooperative. He's a former production administrator at Learning Alley And he formerly read record for the blind and dyslexic and also been a volunteer since 1996. He studied religious philosophies, metaphysics at the School of Theology. He studied psychology at Colorado State University, and he went to Sherrard High School. And he's did a lot of things, but let me let him tell you in his own words. But let's introduce Chris. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, Terry. Happy, happy, joy, joy, Friday, joy, joy.
Hey, I like that. That's cool. I like that, Chris.
Thank you.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, so without further ado, you know, we had my buddy Dwayne on here before, but, you know, when you talk about weed, people think, oh, is this something that you just hurry up and you just smoke and you get high? But no, you know, the plant hemp that we're going to be talking about tonight, it is from the marijuana plant, but they both are the same species legally. But hemp is defined as a cannabis sativa, and it contains only 0.3% of the less THC, while marijuana is a cannabis plant that contains more. You know, so it's a big difference, and we're going to discuss that today. And I bet y'all didn't know that you can take hemp and turn it into articles of clothing. But my real eye-opener was the fact that you can make it a milk that you can drink. So, hey, without further ado, we're going to introduce our special guest, Dwayne. How you doing, darling?
I'm doing great, Terry. Thank you again for having me on so we can talk some more about hemp, you know. Just I'll remind everybody that all hemp is cannabis, but not all cannabis is hemp. By the reason you said, you know, the 3% statute. That's only by statute, but it's really the same plant, just different variants of the different cannabinoids in it. But the hemp plant is so much more versatile than just medicine or recreational. It's got a lot of uses besides that we'll talk about.
Yeah, you know, that star on Cheers, Woody Harrelson, he was the first person that I knew to be a big advocate for the hemp and the clothing. They tried to dog him out and everything. But now, because the other part of the plant, the CD stuff that they're using for, you know, medical issues, pain, whatever, and all these stars like Whoopi Goldberg and these other people are a part of that, now it's big. But, you know, they just make it seem like this is only used for, if it's not drugs, it's for pain relief. But, you know, that plant has so many things going for it, you know. So tell us, when you got into that, were you a weed smoker prior to this, or this is something you just went from theology to planting this for the purpose of hemp?
Well, I confess I smoked what's now called marijuana or weed for about, let's see, it would be about 55 years now. No,
uh-huh.
Yeah, almost 55 years. But that's not why we got into this. I was a Peace Corps volunteer over in the Philippines, and I was doing some research at this place called the International Rice Research Institute, which is south of Manila, in a place called Los Baños Laguna. And that was the first time I ever saw, they were doing rice research, but they were also doing hemp research there. And that was the first time I ever saw industrial hemp plants that were like 16 feet tall. I thought it was a giant marijuana plant, but no, it was industrial hemp. And so then that kind of sparked my interest on all the different things that you can use the hemp plant for. And what we're working towards is first of all, our organization is a true cooperative, which there's not many of those around anymore. But they provide true trickle-down economics to the people doing the work. And that's the whole reason we got into this, is to bring some economic stimulus to rural America, rural world, actually, because hemp's been kind of, you know, well, it's been categorized with the marijuana, and so it got squashed back in the 30s, and now we're having to revive all those supply chains. But whole hemp plant processing is the real future of hemp if we want to be a type of a crop that's equivalent to something like corn or wheat or something like that. I mean, last year in the United States, there was like 125,000 acres of hemp grown, but there was over 90 million acres of corn. So to get to that big jump in acreage, you got to have all the infrastructure to process all that material. And so what we're proposing is we have these little regional processing facilities that will process maybe anywhere from 30 to 50,000 acres of hemp. And what they'll do is they'll produce basically five raw materials that will be sold to second-tier processors and manufacturers to produce the whatever consumer products that they want to produce. Namely, the five products that we'll produce are the seed, and the seed can be used for a lot of different things, and it can be pressed for hemp seed oil. And there is residual flour that has some CBD in it. It's not as high as the CBD growers grow, but it still can be extracted, so there's value there. And then the stalks are run through a machine called a decorticator, and that separates the stalk into its two constituent parts. The inner pith part of the stalk is called the herd, and that can be used for products like oil spill remediation, or that's what they make paper out of, and that's also what they make hempcrete out of. Or the other part of the stalk is the bast, which is the outside, like bark fiber, and that's the long fiber. That's the fiber that they make twine and textiles out of. And then you'll also have some waste in the whole process. You got leaves and you got stems and stuff like that. And that can all be run through what's called a biochar oven. And that can be turned into biochar. And so biochar is the other product. And there's a couple of the process of cooking that material, that biomass, is called the pyrolysis process. And it's a low oxygen type of process. But it creates a couple of other byproducts, one of those being what's called syngas, which is a combination of gases that can be compressed and used just like propane. And so you can use that to make electricity. And then also you have excess heat. As long as you keep feeding biomass into the oven, you're going to keep generating all this excess heat. And Nikola Tesla, back in 1917, I think, patented a turbine that can take that excess heat and turn it back into electricity also. So you can also be green by, you know, generating some of your own electricity to power your facility. So that's basically, we'll have those five raw materials, the seed, the flour, the bast, the herd, and the biochar. And then we'll sell those to the second tier processors, and they can make food or paper or twine or textiles or cosmetics or whatever they want to make out of those raw materials. But we'll be using contracts for the growers. We'll be giving them two contracts, one for their flower and seed and one for their stocks. And then as a member of the cooperative, cooperatives don't make really profits, but they do generate excess revenue. And then once a year, those excess revenues are returned to the shareholders. And so the growers would get a third check from the excess revenue. And so they get the three checks off one plant. And that's and it's going to be more than what they make off of corn or wheat or alfalfa or something like that. So it's a real win-win-win.
Yeah, because I need to jump in for a minute, because even though you're giving us a whole lot of good information, you're going to be answering all the things that Chris wanted to ask you. So I'm going to ask you a question before you tell us all, and he won't get his question in.
Okay. Sorry.
Oh,
as you can tell, I'm kind of excited about this.
It's okay. It's nice to have a passion project, Duana. I understand, but my question is, what's the most bullshit information out there? Like the misinformation about hemp. What's the most bullshit that you've heard about hemp outside of people mistaking it for marijuana?
Well, yeah, that's obviously the biggest one. And you really can't tell the difference without a laboratory test. You know, if you have they're both cannabis, and so if you have one side by side, a hemp plant next to a cannabis plant, you're not going to be able to tell the difference by looking at them. And so that's one reason that the authority has tried to quell the hemp somewhat, because they can't tell the difference between hemp and the high THC cannabis. So that's probably one of the biggest hurdles that we're overcoming right now. But there's all kinds of rumors out there. It's just a lot of misinformation in terms of, for example, cannabis or marijuana is cannabis sativa and hemp is cannabis indica. That's wrong. Those are just two subspecies, and either one can be cannabis with high THC or can be low THC hemp. So, you know, that's probably one of the bigger misnomers, or that it's even a different species, that hemp is a different species from cannabis, and that's not true. Like I said, all hemp is cannabis, but not all cannabis is hemp, just because of statutes.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, I know that the hemp comes in male and female plants. How do we tell the difference from a male plant or a female plant?
Yeah, it's pretty easy once the plants are grown a little bit. Yeah, that's called the hemp plant is dioecious, which means has two plants. That you can get monoecious varieties though, and that both male and female are on the same plant. But it's pretty easy to tell once they get into a certain stage. You can't tell when they're really small, but once they get grown up a little bit, the male plants have these for lack of a better term, these little balls that are coming off of the stems, and whereas the female plants, they have more of a kind of a like a feathery kind of stuff coming off of their plants. So once you see the difference between the two, you'll automatically know which is which. So, but it has to get to a certain growth period before it gets to that, starts to show those traits.
Well, if you can't tell by looking at the plant whether one is hemp and whether the one has the stuff in it that gets you high, now say, for instance, I don't get the one that gets you high. I got straight hemp plant. If I was to burn it, would it still smell like marijuana?
Oh, kind of. Yeah, you know, I've seen some hemp cigarettes, and they don't really smell like a joint. there's a little bit of difference in it, and I think that's probably because of the tetrahydrocannabinol, the delta 9, because there's a THCA, okay, that's really in the plant, and tetrahydrocannabinol A, and the A stands for acid. And in order to make the the THC out of that, it has to be heated. It's called a decarboxylation. And so I think the fact that if there's higher THC, and that has to be decarboxylated with heat, then that changes the smell a little bit. That's just my theory. I don't have anything to back that up, but that's just my theory. They do smell a little bit different, but not enough that you could tell which is which by their smell, because they vary so much.
I got a sensitive nose, man, and when I go to the store, like Walmart or something, and somebody walk past me, I can tell whether they're smoking marijuana, because I don't think they smoke a hemp cigarettes, because they're looking on SCI, you know, that's strong.
And there's thousands of strains, so each strain is going to be a little bit different, no matter what it's hemp or high THC cannabis.
Yeah, well, I know skunk weed is strong. It smells just like a skunk.
Yeah, yeah. My wife doesn't like that either.
Yeah, that's strong. Woo-wee. Go ahead, Chris.
All right. Well, Dwayne, my next question is, what was it like running for student council in California? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Student council?
I mean, I'm sorry, not student council. Excuse me. Brain fart. City council.
Right.
City council.
I was running here for in La Junta, here in where I live now, but I didn't win.
No.
Okay, well.
But it was an interesting experience because you have to be on your best behavior all the time because you want,
right,
you know.
Yeah, that's true.
And I didn't kind of like that, so.
I didn't mean to say student council. I apologize for that.
No problem.
Yeah, we all imperfect. No problem. You know,
I don't think I'm cut out to be a politician. First of all, I think I'm too honest.
I'll be having meetings over the joint. Come on, y'all, come here, let's work it out. I have a peace pipe. But I learned from researching this topic that the hemp seed is what can be used to make milk. Now, I drink almond milk, and my girlfriend a couple of years ago turned me on to that, and I really like it. I haven't tried hemp milk, and I don't even know whether or not they have it in the stores.
Yeah, you can buy it.
You know that I have lotion that got hemp in it, and it smells really
good.
And really good, you know.
Well, the hemp seed oil, the hemp seed itself does not have any THC or CBDs or any of that stuff in it. Now, there may be a little bit on the outside of the seed if they haven't washed the seed because it touches the flower, and that's where those are at. But the hemp seed itself doesn't have those inside of it. But what it does have is it has a lot of omega oils, like omega-3s, 6s, and 9s. So they're very healthy for you, and we eat them all the time. My wife puts them in meatloaf, and we put them on our salad. They're really good for you.
Well, let me ask you this: do they have a taste that's distinguished? You know how people have sesame seeds on a bun? Because if that's the case, you know, I'm sure you got a lot of raw material.
It has a very subtle nutty taste, but it's not strong at all.
That's all right. I'll pass. Chris, if you want some, that's on you. I don't want nothing to taste muddy. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I'm nutty, so I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, but it's very slight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very mild.
All right. Chris, you got your question?
But you can also take the hemp seed oil and make biodiesel out of it.
Okay. Well, with that being said, Dwayne, what is your favorite hemp product that you have? I mean, outside of what you said you and your wife eat,
I think the real future for the hemp plant is going to be in building materials because you can use the stems the stalks. You can use the herd to make hempcrete. And you can make the bast, you can make it into, there's companies out there already making it into what they call hemp wood, and they're making it strong enough that it can be load-bearing. So you can, because hempcrete itself is not load, it's not strong enough to be load-bearing. So you can frame the house with the hemp wood, and then you can make the walls with the hempcrete, and then you can use hemp seed oil to make paint, or you can use hemp dust to make plaster to finish everything. You can make, so you can basically make a whole house without cutting down a tree. So I really see that as the future. And hempcrete has quality to it that it breathes moisture. So if the humidity goes up, it kind of sucks in the moisture. If humidity goes down, it lets it out. So what that does, though, is it makes it pretty much immune from having mold or mildew issues. So, so it's a really healthy environment. And so And it basically turns into stone, and so it's not prone to burn down. So that's another big plus of it. So I just think there's going to be, when it takes 40 or 50 years to grow a tree, and you can make the same material out of a plant that's grown in 120 days, then, it's going to gravitate towards that because, the Earth's resources are pretty finite. But if it can use the renewable ones that renew quickly, like hemp, that's where the focus should be, I think.
Okay. Well, I have a question. The THC and the CBD interact with the endocannabinoid system. So how are they different? Because I just can't imagine that the CBDs is making people feel like it helps their illnesses and stuff like that. So there's nothing in there that's intoxicating. How is this rubbing that on your skin or whatever as a relaxing, healing thing? Or is it just a
property
from plants?
Well, the fact that we have an endocannabinoid system tells me that we evolved in conjunction with some kind of plant that has the endocannabinoids, even though our body does make some endocannabinoids. But
okay.
The fact that those endocannabinoids are in plants. And, hemp's been around a long time, so animals have been eating hemp. We've been eating the animals. We've been eating the hemp. So we kind of evolved together, I think. And so they found that in the endocannabinoid system, there's basically two kinds of receptors. One is more for the THC, and one is more for the CBDs. But, there's actually like 200 cannabinoids in the hemp plant, not just those two. So they're all variants. And the fact they all work together in what is called an entourage effect. And what CBD does is it nourishes all cells, whereas THC doesn't work that way. But it has, and they've shown this in the laboratory in numerous studies, the THC actually kills cancer cells. So if you want to cure cancer with THC or with cannabinoids, you got to have the THC. If you're just taking the CBD and you got cancer, you're just feeding those cancer cells with the because CBD just feeds all cells, whereas the THC kills the cancer cells. So they kind of work together in an entourage effect. And if you have both, if you have equal amounts of CBD and THC, the CBD actually mitigates the high from the THC. So, it's only plants that have a kind of an odd ratio of THC to CBD, a higher ratio of THC, that's the ones that you get high off of. But if the CBD and the THC are fairly equal in the plant, you won't have that much of a high because the CBD mitigates the high from the THC just as much as they work together with the entourage effect to make your body healthy in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll let Chris ask his next question before I come to my next question.
All right. Well, Dwayne, where do you see hemp? Where do you see hemp in the next 3 years? Where do you see it being that it's not being at now?
Well, we have to rebuild the whole supply chain on the industrial hemp plant side. The low hanging fruit is the cannabis, high THC cannabis, and the THC hemp. But those markets have already gotten some saturation to them, so they're not as lucrative as they were at the beginning. So the people I talk to and everything and the things I see, the focus is moving towards the whole hemp plant processing. So that's going to be the focus of the next 3 years. It's kind of the chicken and the egg thing. Is nobody's growing the whole hemp plant for processing because there's no place to process it. Nobody's building the plants because nobody's growing it. So, I mean, the processing facilities. So it's going to be a kind of a combination. That's what we're working towards at the Colorado Hemp Processing Cooperative. We're looking to raise $10 million to build the first prototype processing facility here in southeastern Colorado. And like I said, we'll give contracts with the growers, one for the seed and flower, one for the stalks. And then if they want to be shareholders also, they'll get a share of the excess revenues. But that's not going to happen immediately. It's going to take 3 to 5 years to really get this industry on a good way to start making money and producing the products and building the supply chains. There's just so much work to do, and the banking is still not settled yet. And the USDA just published the final rules for hemp cultivation in the past month, and so they go into effect at the end of this year. Unless a certain state is going with the federal rules this year, Colorado's going with their own rules this year. But then after this year, everybody has to go by the federal rules.
Right.
So we still got a long way to go. It's not gonna happen overnight. We got to build these facilities. We've got to build the supply chains. We've got to perfect some of the harvesting equipment and some of the processing mechanisms to make them more efficient, because they grow a lot in China, but they're so dependent on physical labor, manual labor, because they have so many people that they don't really mechanize the way that we do things over here. So we want to create good jobs that are going to not minimum wage jobs. We want to create good jobs so people can make a living.
Right.
Going to take a while.
Dwayne, as far as therapeutics, now I know the CBD doesn't have that intoxicating effect to it, but I know that at least 12 sites in the brain, it has therapeutic effects by activating multiple pathways at once, and it creates relaxation and improved moods. Have
sure.
it been used towards trying to find a cure for Alzheimer's?
Yes, actually, they've done some research in that area, and there's these in Alzheimer's patients. They've found this, I think it's called an amyloid plaque, and it kind of messes up the connections between the neurons, and they found that the cannabis products help break that plaque up, so it's less impairing.
Okay.
Yeah, they have done research on that, and it does
Good.
Help.
Okay, great. I have another question before I let Chris ask the question. My next question is, there are so many places out there that are trying to push their CBD product. And I even heard on television that Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz said somebody was perpetrating, putting their name on that product that they said they had no parts of. And I've heard that some of the CBD products were, I don't know how they split it up or make it or whatever, was garbage. So how do a person know whether or not they're getting the right amount? Because I know there's a percentage to make it CBD opposed to THC. So like you have with foods, you have we have this amount of sodium, this amount of fat.
Right.
When you buy CBD, do it have a list of the ingredients?
It's supposed to, but because the FDA has not published all their rules yet about hemp products and CBD products, it's still the wild, wild west. So people can basically put anything they want on there. And they've tested a lot of samples, and they've found that a lot of samples don't contain what they say they contain on the label. And that's just part of the the growing process of an infantile industry, because the feds have not stepped up to the plate and said, okay, this is how you need to test, this is what you have to print on the label and all of that. None of that's been done yet. So until that gets done, you just have to be really careful. I would not really recommend buying your CBD products at the gas station, because those are the, unfortunately, there's a lot of people.
You.
Well, there's some reputable companies out there, and that's what you need to. You just need to do your homework and talk to your friends that are using it and see which ones that they found have been effective and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because
buy from reputable places.
You know, the pain in my leg is difficult, and in my back, and I really would like to have something that I can just rub on without taking all these pain pills. I don't want my life to be filled with just pain pills. Now, I don't mind rubbing on that, you know, don't affect me mentally, but, I need to look into it. To go to.
Well, the real thing that you really need to work on that kind of in two ways, and where do you live again?
I don't want to stay on the air because I have people.
Okay, but anyway, I mean, it's so different between states. Like in Colorado, I can tell you exactly what to get at the dispensary. You know, you get a tincture that has equal parts CBD and THC. And you take the tincture that goes under your tongue a couple of times a day, and then you can also buy some cream that we buy a brand called Extreme Relief, and it's a salve, and it's got melon and cucumber in it, and we use that for our psoriasis and aches and pains also, and they both have THC and CBD. But that's in Colorado. If you don't have access to that, then it's a problem. But that's the two main things you need. You need the tincture, so you work from the inside, and then you need the salve to do from the outside for the aches and pains.
Okay. Well, Chris, go ahead and ask your question. Yeah. Dwayne to get some more information from you.
All right, Dwayne. My next question is: if people can't get hemp, what's the closest alternative, if there is one?
There really isn't one. It's a pretty unique plant.
Okay.
There's so many cannabinoids, and the way that some places extraction facilities. They extract the cannabinoids, and then they basically frack them, and so they isolate them. Like you'll have THC, you'll have CBD, you'll have CBDA, you have CBG, you'll have CBN, and then you can buy those as long as it's not THC. I think you might be able to buy those and over the internet. And they can go through the mail as long as it's not the THC. But I've never done that, so I'm not sure that you can do that. But that's the other alternative is just to get the different isolated cannabinoids. But the best is just to come to Colorado and stock up and go back home.
Well, you know. That brings me to a question that I have, Dwayne. And because I have chronic pain and I take Class A medication, you know, when I go to my doctor, you know, every so often, every couple of months, we do a lab work to see what we've been taking, because a lot of time pain management is to help people get off of the pain pills and the things they're taking.
Yeah.
So with that being said, if I were to start taking CBD and I went and had my urinalysis from my lab work, would it indicate, oh, wow, bingo, 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 she's smoking weed, you know, because it's from the same.
Yes, it would. Yes. Well, okay. It depends on the test, but most tests will detect THC, but some detect CBD, some do not. It just depends on the nature of the test that they're doing. But I wouldn't take a chance.
She getting high at her age. Oh, no, man. If I ever smoked a joint, man, I'd be through. Because I'm telling you, I mean, years ago, I mean, when I tried it, you know, years ago when I tried it when I was younger, like my teens and stuff, it was cool. You know, as I got older, you know, and had my daughter and I tried it, man, I had a couple of puffs and I was so paranoid. You know, I started praying, Lord, please let me come down from this. This is not with my life, you know, and I can't handle it. Some people, they can handle it because, you know, I have a relative that smokes it every day, like it's part of their culture or something. But me, I'm a punk.
Everybody has a different biochemistry, so, you know,
yeah,
it's going to affect everybody differently.
Yeah, well, I'm a punk. I can't get high. I can't do drugs or drink.
No,
because...
no, that's you don't need to. If you don't need to, that's great.
Yeah, I
you do need some for pain management, you know. You can't get any more natural than cannabis products as long as they're made properly.
Mm-hmm. But
and they're not addictive. That's the good thing, and they've never killed anybody.
Right. You know, do you think that my pain management doctor, if I bring it up to him, could he write me a prescription? Because I see a lot of places now they come up with dispensaries and stuff and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we have both. We have medical cannabis and recreational cannabis here in Colorado. And the medical ones, you don't have to pay near as much taxes on, that's for sure. But you have to get a card here, and then you can go to the dispensary side, that's the medical side. I'm sorry, I got distracted by the phone. But yeah, but there's also been.
You said you got distracted.
Been,
are you
since there's been synthetic cannabis on the that doctors have been able to write prescriptions for.
Right.
There's been the fake cannabis, I guess you might call it. But that he can write you a prescription from that, but that would actually be better than the opioid.
As long as it works for you. This codeine pill that for the rest of my life, I want to find another alternative. But I know you said that you got distracted. Are you puffing right now?
No, I'm not. No, we're getting ready to get. We're gonna go out to dinner with my mother. My mother's 90 years old.
Oh, I forgot to say, too, well, congratulations on the longevity of your mom's life, but I also send my sympathies and to your family for the loss of your sister. You know, she'll be alive.
Yeah, my only sister.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
that was kind of a, she's my younger sister, too, so that, you know, that's not the natural way of things, and it was unexpected. I appreciate the sentiments.
Yeah. Well, darling, we got to wrap this up. We ran out of time. I love you, Dwayne. Anytime you want to talk about anything, just call a sister. You know I got your back. This is home for you. And so on that note, I'm going to say goodbye to you. Goodbye, Chris. Have a safe weekend.
Goodbye.
And don't eat too much.
Okay. Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anytime,
bye-bye.
Darling. See you now. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Tell Carly I said.
Okay.
You ready? Vitamin or freezer? Throw back. Yeah. You ready, Ron? I don't know. You ready, Ben?
I don't think so.
Let's do it anyway. Ladies.
Girl, I'm a wonder. I sense something strange in my mind.
Yeah.
So, if you were human, the jury just been running out of time.
Tell them, Rick.
That girl is poison.
Oh.
She can never fuck a big butt. That girl is poison.
take precautions before I step to meet a tiger. You know, cause in some